Well, my name is Dr. Rick Cromie. I'm a Lewis and Clark historian. Well, let's talk about the stretch of the river between the Dalles and the what we call Cascade Locks today, and Stevenson, Washington. And when you look at it from Lewis and Clark, again, when they leave the Dalles, they're going to zoom through this area. In fact, they're really through this particular stretch of the river on October 28th through 29th. And even coming back upriver, they're coming upriver at a pretty good pace too, April 14th through the 15th. So 2 days down, 2 days up, they pretty much cover this stretch of the river. And that's fascinating to me because you would think coming back up, it would be a fairly, maybe 2 or 3 days longer than coming down. But they're coming along at a pretty good pace going up as well as down. And one of the things that slowed them down in October were the headwinds on the Columbia. The headwinds were so hard as they were going down that, in fact, I'll read from the journal here from John Ordway. He says, quote, "The wind rose so high from the northwest that it obliged us to halt on the large side under some drifts of or cliffs of rocks. And the Indians came in their canoes to our camps." So they literally had to stop. It was so windy. And you can have sometimes 3-foot waves coming at you. And that's just difficult for these guys in dugout canoes to traverse. They started to find that these natives were living in houses. Now, they were used to the tribes living in more like cloths, tents. The language was different. In fact, some of them had knowledge of English words. In fact, some of them were already dressed in British trade type of items. The British had been trading down the Northwest coast for a long, long time, probably for 30, 40 years already. And a lot of this was starting to make its way up the Columbia River. William Clark says, quote, "I entered one of the houses in which I saw a British musket, a cutlash, and several brass tea kettles. I saw them boiling fish in baskets with stones, which was a British way of cooking fish." So they were learning and picking up white European type of customs and fashion as they went down. They also noted, Lewis and Clark did, the superior Chinookan canoes at this point. The Chinooks were starting to come up at this far on the river, and they noticed that they had a high front end to their canoes. And that was fascinating to them because they were running a dugout canoe that they had dug out from the Nez Perce, and they were used to having water coming over the top of their front of their canoe. But these Chinooks had no problem going through these waves on the Columbia River. And in fact, they talk about this. William Clark says, quote, "The wind, which is the cause of our delay, does not retard the motions of those people at all, as their canoes are calculated to ride the highest waves. They're built of white cedar or pine, very light, wide in the middle, and tapers at each end." They started to covet that particular canoe, and it's part of their story. In fact, before they leave Fort Clatsop, they're going to steal one.